Hey, good evening, church. Welcome to our Wednesday night service and midweek prayer session, and glad you're all with us here this evening, and hope you've had a good week. If I sound funny, I've had a sinus infection this week, so I'll probably not sing too good tonight. So, but we're gonna try to sing anyways, because we're singing to the Lord in number. If you got a book at your house, it's number 210. My Jesus, I love thee.
Matthew chapter 5 and other three Gospels, Mark and Luke. But I do want to let y'all know that I am under the weather tonight. I had a root canal yesterday, but I think I had an infection because it was almost like lockjaw and in my ear. And I had been taking, as you're turning to Matthew 5, I've been taking antibiotics for about 2 or 3 days, but I'm hoping that it's just infection still in my body, and so we'll pray for that. But I'm going to be honest with you. I came up here about 8 o'clock this morning, studied, kind of had my idea of the way I was going to do the lesson. I called Brother Paul just to kindly get with him, and then I come back, and I couldn't. My focus, my mind wasn't right, and God has just given me something completely different with the same passage. And so that's really why I'm in here, because the Word's got me excited tonight, and I want us to look at this Word. And so we're going to be, again, we'll be in Matthew chapter 5, then Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 8, and Luke chapter 11. Brother Otis, could you find a thing of Lysol, too, before I get done, so I can spray all this down? Matthew 5, Mark 4, Luke 8, and Luke 11. And what we're going to see in this passage is that
different from any other of the parables. Okay, you know how we've been studying these parables, and basically they're the same in each passage. Now, in each gospel, there may be something a little bit different, you know, a little view or anything, but basically the whole telling of the parable is the same. Well, this is what's awesome about this parable. There's a central truth. There's a central truth that's true in all of them. But then what the issues Christ addresses after that are different. And so I've never seen this, but I think it'd be good. But we do have some prayer needs tonight. Brother Roy and Sister Phyllis, Chris Bilton, Paula Butler, Judy Colton, David and Felicia Cantrell, Stephanie Carlington and family, Sister Moselle, Teresa Cobb, Wilma Daniels, Kathy Darnell, Sherry Davis, Elmer Dockery, Melanie Dorton, Chance, Danielle and Baby Dye, Molly and Howard Edwards, Audrey Irving, Baxley family, Bill Fuller, Danny and Stephanie Harvey, Tom Hendricks, Junior Hill, Brother Ed Holden, Sister Bridget Holmes, as she's still mending from her surgery, our shut-ins, Don Kearns, our leaders, Melanie Lester, Nancy McNew, Van Ministry, Sister Denise Mosher, Kathy Mullins, Marla Nichols, Danielle Nottingham, Candy Osborne, Parker and Hudson Qualls, Courtney Qualls as well, Sister Jean Rasnick, Unspoken, Brother Danny and Sister Sherry Roden. He had another treatment. Okay, praise the Lord. And then Brother Leonard, Mr. Leonard and Sister Nancy, he'll be having a deeper biopsy. It's a pretty good procedure on September the 15th. Going to remove it. Okay.
Because were they getting numbing good when they were
before?
Biopsy, it was inconclusive.
Gotcha. Thank you, sister. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
All right, good.
I'm trying to get mine to stop.
Dwight Roberts, Wayne and Terry Roberts, Rick Sawyers, Wendy Shields, Danny and Kathy Snavely, our students, Dwight Stiles, Linda Thompson, Shirley Wells, Jeanette Willis, and then most of all, our loss, we know that. But also, Brother Wayne's got COVID. Lillian Baldwin's granddaughter has COVID. Sister Tammy was saying that basically her van is about halfway full or empty. Yeah, the sickness. Brother, you heard Brother Ken. Brother Keith Roach woke up this morning with vertigo and not been able to eat today, and so pray for him. Sister Hannah, Logan, and Milo Shepherd. I know his name is Miles Leon, but he's being called Milo, and I think that's a pretty good name. Now, there will be visitation tomorrow night. Me and Amy's hopefully going to be able to. We've got two homes. One of them, I want to go see the baby. I ain't got to see the baby yet. But if you will come out tomorrow night, the main thing that I would ask is that y'all know where the churches are at around here. I know a few of them. But what I'd like to do is have a flyer about our worship in the field Sunday night. And if nothing else, just take it, fold it, and stick it in the door. And that way, if they want to participate, they'll come. And if y'all can just do that, I'll make about 20 or so. And if I'm not here, they'll be here. But Lord willing, I'll be here as well. Caitlin and Chris and Baby Cole, Ashley, Jared, Amila, and Baby Glass, Kevin Mullins, Mr. Johnson, who has lung cancer, and then Laura Evans, Opal, and Grace, and her baby girl and baby boy. Any other prayer needs tonight? Martin Stanley. Anyone else? I remember you telling me. Anyone else? Mm-hmm. I knew the name sounded familiar. How's he doing?
Did you? Good deal. Amen. Thank you, sister. Those of you that's watching by Facebook or listening, it's good to be with you tonight. Thankful that you're out here. And if you do have a prayer need, just post it on our feed, and we'll try to lift that up. Do we have any words of praise or testimony tonight? God is good. Amen. Amen. No matter where we're at. Amen. 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 Thank you, brother. Anyone? Amen. I know that got me excited too. That's been on my heart for years. Anyone else? All right. Let's go to the Lord a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I do thank you and I praise you for this night. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you that whatever state I'm in, Heavenly Father, Lord, you've gone ahead of me and you've prepared a way. And God, you've heard the needs. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I know there's plenty of unspoken in here tonight. But God, we've lifted up those that are sick physically, Lord. But most of all, we know that there are those that are sin sick. And Heavenly Father, Lord, those that are dealing with depression, Heavenly Father, Lord, those that are dealing with other issues, Lord, I just pray, God, that you'll just be with them. And Lord, we do pray for the fellowship of Christian athletes. We pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, for the worship in the field. God, I pray over Duffield Days. Lord, I just pray it be one of the best that's ever been, Lord Jesus, and that the people will be drawn closer, and Heavenly Father, Lord, our community will be benefited. But God, we ask you to be with us tonight as we go into your word, and I pray that in Jesus' name, you be lifted up and that you teach us through the Holy Ghost. In his name I pray. Amen. All right, parable number four. Parable number four. The first was the sower. Second was the house on the rocks versus the house built on the sand. And then last week we looked, and I'm telling you, I'm just getting into these parables. We looked at the old clothing and the old wineskins, and God's just blessing there. But I think you'll see in this, as we read these passages, you'll see that there's going to be a central theme, and then we'll go a little bit different. Now, the first one we're going to read is out of Matthew chapter 5. And can you tell me what begins in Matthew chapter 5? Beatitudes. Sermon on the Mount. The Beatitudes is basically the introduction to the Sermon on the Mount. And I would say that this parable placed in it. Now we know, because in the others, what we're going to see is that where the lit candle, it falls into the introduction on the Sermon on the Mount here in Matthew chapter 5. In the others, Mark and Luke, it just basically falls in some of the other parables. You know, it's just kind of in the mix there. And so, again, as we look at this parable, as considering it to be tied to the Beatitudes. Yes, the Beatitudes. Jesus is not teaching a work salvation there. I like the way that J. Vernon McGee puts it, and he says they're called the Beatitudes. It's because those who are followers of Christ Jesus, it's what we're supposed to be, or the character we're supposed to reflect as we are a part of his kingdom or the kingdom of God. And so as we move on into this, again, it's not about work salvation. It's about works expressing our gratitude for salvation. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light candles
and put them under a bushel basket, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is heaven, in heaven. All right, now Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21. Are you there? Okay. Jesus also said unto them, is a lamp brought in to be put under a bushel basket or under a bed? Is it not to be put on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden that cannot be revealed, nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By the measure or the amount that you use, that's the amount that will be given to you. Verse 25. For whosoever has, more will be given to them, and whosoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. All right, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, verse 16 and following. No one, are you there? Okay. No one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but they put it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see its light. For nothing is concealed that won't be revealed. There is nothing hidden that will not be made known or brought to light. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, more will be given to them, and whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. And then Luke chapter 11, we have the last lit candle parable. Luke chapter 11, verse 33. Are you there? Luke 11, 33 and following. No one lights a lamp and puts it in the... what's that word there? Cellar, okay. Cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand, so that those who come in may see its light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is good, your whole body is full of the light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Take care then that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body is full of light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated as when a lamp shines in you. And may God add the blessing to the reading of His Scripture. All right, as we study the parable, we're reminded that they are basically, a parable is a teaching instrument, or is a teaching principle whereby the speaker takes worldly situations, worldly events, things that happen in our daily lives, and by using that, he brings out, or she brings out, an eternal truth. And so, as we look at this, as one of my outline, and I was, this was kindly what I was going to center upon before God took it. The preacher's outline and sermon commentary, basically, when you look at it there in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in that verse, what it says that this is about being a true disciple, being a true follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. But did you notice that there was basically one central idea in each one of those passages? But after that, except for Mark and the first one in Luke 8, those were very similar. But other than that, you had three different situations or three different type issues that was there. So the first thing that we want to look at is the central truth. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 15, neither do men light candles, put them under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Then in Mark chapter 4, verse 21, is a lamp brought in to be put under a basket or under a bed? Nope, it's to be put on a lampstand. Luke chapter 8, verse 16, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a basket or puts it under a bed, but they put it on a lampstand so that those who come may see its light. And then Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No one lights a lamp and puts it under in the cellar or under a basket, but on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. So as we look at this and we think about the idea of light, and Jesus, and in the Matthew one, what we see this, Matthew, the parable recorded by Matthew, is the only one where Jesus says, you are the light of the world. But before that, what did he say? You are the salt. You are the salt. You are the light. Now let me ask you this. What does light do to darkness? It dispels it. It permeates it. It goes into the darkness and pushes the darkness out. Okay? Now, think about salt. What does salt do to meat? It preserves it. But to do so, it has to permeate every aspect of it, right? It has to go. If you miss a spot, that part on that ham is going to be bad, right? Because you didn't get the salt. Okay? So the purpose here of light is so that it can be seen, so that it permeates the room and everyone is benefited by it. And so the central purpose here, or the central truth here, is that Jesus is saying, as believers, we cannot isolate ourselves. Now, here's the thing. There are a lot of denominations or so-called believers that now, what do? They live by themselves. They start them their own commune, yeah, and they stay to themselves. A lot of people, churches, don't do visitation. The reason is because we insulate, we isolate. And here's the problem, especially now after COVID, we like to insulate. We like to isolate. We don't just cold call you anymore by going to your door on visitation and knocking, because we know people don't like that. But here's the deal. There is no excuse for us not showing and sharing Jesus in the world around us. That's what we've been called to do. That's the central truth, right? What does he say? He said, nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel basket. What do you do with a bushel basket? You pick vegetables, right? You work. Today, a lot of people use their work as an excuse not to tell others or show the love of Jesus Christ, right? All right? What do you do on a bed? He said, well, no, you don't put on bed. Leisure, right? Gonna kick back, lay back, kick my feet up, watch some TV. Football season's coming. Right now, a lot of people use leisure as an excuse not to serve the Lord or not to let their light shine among men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. And so that idea about let your light shine, don't put it under a bushel basket, don't put it under the bed, don't take it into the cellar, but put it to where everyone can see it. This is the central theme. Every one of those, we read it, right? In every one of those accounts of the lit candle, we see it, okay? And so in Matthew, we see that he is telling us the purpose of us having that light. Here's the thing. It's not our light. It's the light of Jesus Christ living within us. We ain't got no light. We're dead on the inside. I know that ain't good, but we ain't got it, do we? We ain't got no light, and it's his light that's shining within us. And he's saying this, hey, I didn't put my light in you for you to go run and hide it. I put the light in you so that when you go out and live your life, that your light might be seen, whether it be through good works, helping others, and then glorifying the Father which is in heaven. Amen? Okay, so now that we've looked at that and we understand the central theme, and that's the overall theme here in Matthew, he really doesn't touch with anything else there, does he? He just says, hey, put the light in you. Nobody puts it under a bushel basket. Put it on the candlestick so everybody can see the candlestick.
and so that your Father may be glorified. That's the general purpose. That's the central truth. Okay, now, if you look in Mark, however, chapter 4, and Luke, chapter 8, after he presents the central purpose, remember, he says, don't put it, nobody has a light to put it on, underneath something or to hide it. Amen? That's in Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 21, I believe it is. And then in Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 16, that's what it says, right? Now, notice what it begins to say after that. For there is nothing hid that will not be revealed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought to light. If anyone has ears, let them hear. And he said to them, pay attention to what you hear. By the measure you use it, it will be measured unto you. For whoever has, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away. Luke chapter 8, beginning of verse 17. For nothing is concealed that will not be revealed. There is nothing hidden that won't be made known or brought to light. Therefore take care how you listen. For whoever has, more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. So Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, but after he presents the purpose, permeate. Let your light permeate the world around you, your Jerusalem, so that the world will see the light of Christ in you and your Creator will be glorified. Amen? But then he says something that is not recorded in Matthew 5, nor is it recorded in Luke chapter 11. Look what he says. He says, after saying, don't hide it, he says this. This is the issue he begins to talk about. Nothing that you're doing is hidden. Right? Isn't that what he's saying? Nothing that's going on, that's happening in your life, nothing that you're doing is hidden from God. God sees everything. He looks and he beholds over the evil and the good. Amen? But when he says nothing is hidden, nothing is concealed, he's also telling us this. One day, everybody will know what we've been up to. Right? One day it's going to be, listen, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14. For God will bring every act into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it be evil or good. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether it be good or bad. Now, consider this. Would those that profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and we could say it as well, for those that go to a church and call themselves members of the local church, whether it be a big church or whether it be a little church, it doesn't matter. There's certain groups in that church. Listen, I want to talk about four groups of professing believers that are within the local church. There's those that know Jesus Christ and have a genuine relationship with Him. Amen? And you know what? Some days they're excited, other days they're not so excited, but you know what they do? They serve Him by serving others. They serve others in the church. They serve others outside of the church. They serve. They love Jesus and they serve Him. But then there's another group of believers in the church, and they don't serve. Basically, they're saved. They may have served at some time or another, but they've got to a point where they really don't do much of nothing. They come every now and then, or maybe they come all the time, but they're just not workers. They're not servants. They're not allowing their light to shine, right? Then you have, that's the genuine believers, but then you have the deceived non-believers. See, you've got those that do not know Jesus Christ that are in the church and profess to know Christ. They're moral people. They're good workers. For some reason, maybe they just like to work. I got a father-in-law that goes on vacation and goes to work with his son. I don't get that. I'm not doing that on my vacation. But others, they like the pats on the back. They like the control, the authority, but they're lost as a golf ball in high weeds. They are. And then there's another group that's in the church, right? They don't know Jesus, and they don't serve.
So you've got this smorgasbord of believers. And Jesus is dealing with this issue here. Guess what? You're the light. I've put my light in you. And you're not supposed to hide it under your work or under your leisure. But also know this. I see what you're doing. I recognize what's going on. I know why you're working. I know why you ain't working. I know if you're saved. I know if you're lost or whatever. And there's coming a day where me and you will deal with this. But notice what he goes on to say. And to this, I believe he's talking more to the believers instead of the non-believers here. Because what does he say? He says this, therefore take care how you listen. And we've talked about this here recently. And that's when he says, to those that have, more will be given. And to those that don't have, even what they think they have is going to be taken away. What's he talking about there? He's talking about the revelation of God in our lives and his purpose and plan for our lives. Amen? God shows us a truth. Then he shows us by the work of the Holy Spirit how that truth is to be lived out in our lives. And how that we're to serve, whether it's to be a teacher, whether it's to be a prayer warrior, or whatever. And then he's saying, to those that have, to those that's received my revelation, that here's my purpose, here's my plan for their life, and they're following out with that, praise God, I'm going to give you some more. But to those that I've provided revelation to, but yet they don't care about my purpose for their life, they don't care about my plan for their life, guess what? I'm not going to give you any more. And I think that's what we're seeing right now about where people who were once active in the church, but they've got out of the church, and now you can go talk to them about coming back to church, and they'll tell you, I will, or I'll think about it, and then we never see them. What's happening there? That which was given to them is starting to be taken away. That love of the body, that love of the church, that love of service. We're seeing that. And so notice what Jesus is doing. And this is what blew my mind. In Matthew, he tells us, you're the light of the world, and this is the purpose. Because I want you to, don't hide it, but I want you to glorify my Father in heaven. I want you to permeate. Then, when we move over here to Mark, he kind of builds on that. He says, okay, now, I done told you in Matthew, this is why you're supposed to be doing it. But remember, I'm watching, I'm looking. And if you're not going to receive what I've given you, if you're not going to act on what I've already told you, I'm not going to give you no more. My child, I'm not going to give you no more. Now, let's jump over to the last one over in the book of Luke. This is amazing. This is amazing. Luke chapter 11. Now remember, whose light is it? Is it our light? It's Jesus' light. Now, so in Luke, after Jesus tells the central purpose, you know, I've given you my light. I want you to permeate the world around us. Amen? That's what he says. But then notice what he says. The light, your eye is the lamp of your body. Meaning that it provides the light. Amen? And when your eye's good, your whole body's good, right? You can see everything and you can walk and you can do this. You know, there's no problem. But if your eye's bad, guess what? You don't see. And you better have somebody leading you, or else the whole body's going to have a problem, correct? And then listen to what he says. Take care, then, that the light in you is not darkness. You remember? And I'm not saying this is specifically how it has to be interpreted and alone. But remember, there's those in the church that are also fooled non-believers. They're deceived non-believer. And all of us need to check that light. Amen? All of us need to look in and make sure that that light is not our light. But remember, we talked about how there's some that work that don't know Jesus, whether it be because they are moral people, whether they like to work, the pat on the backs, whatever it may be, control or whatever. But there's a light that's shining there, isn't there? There's something being, but you know what it is? It's the light of self. Whatever the purpose is, it's their light. And now, let me ask you that. Is that a godly light? No, that's a dark light. And guess what? It can hurt the body. It can hurt the church. And so notice what he does. In 36, if therefore your whole body is full of the light, with no part of it in darkness, it will be entirely illuminated as when a lamp shines its light in you. Now, isn't this just amazing? How it's the same central truth. It's basically the same parable, right? You give a light, don't put it under a bushel, don't put it under a bed, put it on a lamp so that it can permeate. But yet, after that, he takes and deals with at least three different type issues with the same parable. So go home, look at it, tell me I'm wrong about all of it if you want to. But I just thought that was a kind of neat look at it. And I got it in about 2 hours, so if I am wrong in that one, then just blame it on a fever, okay?
You know, it was Sunday night, we were talking about the plagues.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good deal. Yeah, we couldn't remember them. We couldn't remember them. But thank you for bringing that up, because remember what we were looking at was an attitude of ingratitude. Now, that's the thing. Remember how we say ingratitude can shape our identity if we're not careful, as an individual and as a body. Now, if we're not willing to let our light shine, if we're not willing to put it on the lampstand, then are we expressing gratitude? No, that's an act of ingratitude. And again, it's disobedient. And it makes God angry. I'm going to tell you this. I think we've had a wonderful spirit around here lately. I mean, just an awesome spirit. But also, I really think that our Sunday nights and our Wednesday nights lessons are more informational. I mean, I think, I'm not saying we get more out of it, but they're more fun. I'll put it that way. They're more fun. Amen. Amen. And so just keep studying. And okay. What? Which one? Mm-hmm. Their knowledge and the enlightenment of God. Right, we don't understand anything about the Bible says that natural man cannot receive that of the spiritual man, right? It has to be given to us of God, correct? It's given to us by the Holy Spirit. Amen? But if we don't act on that enlightenment, you understand what I'm saying? The revelation of God's Word, the revelation of His truth, that not only does He show you something in Scripture, but then He says, Sister Tammy, through that, I want to show you that you're going to go to Alaska. Okay? Because I'm sure He used the Word, He used prayer, and He used people to bring that to your revelation, right? What if you wouldn't have went? He showed you all that, right? But you said, I ain't got time. You think He's going to give you more? Yeah, does that help make it understand? So see, to those that's been given and acted on it, right? You acted on it. He gave it to you. Guess what He's saying? I'm going to give you some more. You're using what I'm giving you, and so I'm going to give it to you. Now, and when He says about those that have or think they have, I'm going to take it away. They, at one time, you've seen people. God tells them, I want you to work here. I want you to be a member here. I want you to do that. And maybe they act on it for a while, but then they stop acting. Right? They regress, don't they? You see them kind of fall away from God instead of pulling. Exactly. In a place of backsliding, but God's, you know, when God revealed all that to you about Alaska, didn't it get you excited? Okay, so when God has revealed to them, it didn't get them excited. So what's happening? It's becoming dull. It's becoming, take it or leave it, you know. And so that's, and again, He's not talking about salvation there. I mean, He's not talking about taking away salvation. But we are seeing a great falling away right now. And is everybody that was active in Thomas Village, and I'm just saying this because this is a local church, everybody that was active and coming pre-COVID and now aren't and aren't going anywhere else, are all of those lost? No. No, I don't believe they're lost at all. But I do believe that they've not acted on some of the things that God has shown them. And so, go ahead, sister.
Some people do a hunger for His Word and really want to dig into it, see what God has to say to us, what He's left here for. And so they start to read and they might understand something, and then they just say, oh, this is just too much trouble, I'm not going to read anymore. So God doesn't let them understand anymore.
Yeah, it's the revelation. I can tell you this, and I hope it's just old, but man, I mean, when I used to want to memorize Scripture, God gave me the ability to memorize Scripture. I mean, if I'd put it in, He'd put it there. Guess what? I hope it's just old in this book. I don't put the Scripture in memorizing-wise like I used to. So, I mean, but yeah, it's specifically speaking to believers in that aspect, but we also know that He's hinting when we go to that last one over there in Luke chapter 11. He's saying, hey, you got something in you, but is it my light or is it the light of the world, the light of self? Because if it's not my light, then guess what? You're in darkness and you're in danger. You know, the body's going to get hurt if you don't have the pure light there. Good discussion. See, this is what I like. Yeah, but you know what it gives. I wrote it down. I was going to use it Sunday. It is in Romans somewhere. To each man is given a measure of faith. Specifically, there, he's kind of talking about our spiritual gifts, you know what I mean? And
that's if you don't earn that.
No, it's given.
But you're expected to grow with it.
Mm-hmm.
And show the light.
Yep. Anyone else? All righty. God bless you. If you're ready to go to the house, stand up. Brother Gary, would you close us out in a word of prayer, please?